The Word of Mouth podcast is brought to you by
Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community.
With convenient locations throughout northern New England,
world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more.
Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
Word of Mouth!
A lot of people are shy to talk about art, especially contemporary art. Kids, on the other hand, don't hold back.
Boys and girls, what do you see?
It's like a rock in the space.
That is a group of first and second graders from McDonough Elementary School in Manchester walking into Sue Sunny Park's BioLab installation. That's at the Currier Museum of Art with their teacher, Claire Preventer.
It's like it's moving, but the art isn't.
It looks like a pattern.
It looks like flowers.
Another group of third, fourth, and fifth graders is led by the Courier's volunteer tour manager, Megan McIntyre. They walk through the gallery of shapes wrought out of common metal lath, that flat, diamond-shaped mesh often used by landscapers or builders. Here, it appears transformed, inflated into softer, organic shapes. Some have translucent strips of colored plexiglass woven on the surface. Many are suspended from the ceiling. Lights mounted on a slow-moving track animate the shapes and cast shadows. They look like, well...
asteroids. Germs.
Germs. What kind of germs?
The Courier's website describes BioLab as an immersive sculptural environment that explores the effect of light on visual perception. All I can say is these kids are entranced, much more so than when they were looking at paintings.
I like this because there's two ways of looking at it, the real wires and the shadows.
The feeling that you're actually in the picture is really cool.
It's actually popping out at you. It seems like it's actually a real thing.
It's cool because they're made of things that art wouldn't be made of usually.
Once you get beyond the initial oohing and aahing effect of BioLab, a close look reveals how meticulous and labor-intensive its construction. I visited the artist and Dartmouth professor Sue Sunny Park studio in West Lebanon, New Hampshire, to find out how she does it.
Sunny!
It was easy to spot Sunny, as she's called, with her almost azalea pink-colored hair, just as she was opening the door on a drizzly spring day. Once inside, Sunny showed me drawings and sculptures and pieces made of drywall, rebar, chain-link fencing, things that generally hold things up and together, but are usually hidden. So why use these quote-unquote common materials?
I think, now I look back and realize that all these things that I use are the things that we build walls with and houses with. And so this idea of these material create space inside and outside space with it, barrier or boundary, glue as well too, like contact cement and carpet adhesive, things you wouldn't normally think of it as something you want to make form out of. But I like the idea of just kind of slipping that out of that in-between space. I'm interested in that space between things.
I spot a piece hanging from the ceiling made of chain link fencing, coaxed out of that cylindrical shape that you'd find it in at Home Depot, and shaped into something much more malleable. It looks like a net twisting and bloating in the wind. A net filled with glistening bits of pinks and lavenders and magentas and yellows, almost like the scales of some otherworldly fish.
I have heard people say, make them think of school of fish in the water, kind of moving along the curves of the water flow, however, yeah.
How do you describe it?
How do I describe it? That's a good question. I mean, to describe what it looks like, what it represents, it's kind of hard to do because I make abstract forms.
What looks like scales are tiny pieces cut from a sheet of plexiglass that actually has no color. It appears iridescent when reflecting the changing light. Thousands of these little tiles were cut, each of them hand-sanded, drilled with holes, and then attached by twisting wire into the empty squares between this reformed mesh. And I'm looking at just one of the building blocks of nearly four dozen that were welded together for an installation at Rice University in Houston called Unwoven Light. The effect is dazzling. It's almost dreamy and creates an illusion of effortlessness and motion. Making it is another story.
What I did is I suspended it and pulled it and I welded each corner.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
How long did it take to do this?
The welding takes quite a bit, and this is a small part of it, and I have...
Sunny never really does answer that question directly, which may be a survival tactic since she is so busy with exhibitions and projects right now. In just the past few years, her installations have appeared in shows from the Vancouver Biennale to one in the United Arab Emirates. She's also making her name outside of the capital A art world. She landed at number one on BuzzFeed's listicle of dreamy art installations you want to live in. And during New York Fashion Week, the high-end designer Del Pozzo credited Sunny for inspiring its spring 2017 line. She's also been featured in Time magazine and in Tea. That's the New York Times style magazine. Now, after decades of making everything herself, Sunny has help turning these ideas into sculptures big enough to fill rooms. Just on the other side of the studio entrance, David Buggs and Lou Carbler are wrestling with wire fencing. It's a stiffer, thicker gauge material than that used for biolath, and they're making multiple copies of several different shapes that will also be filled in with plexiglass tiles, then pieced together in a large-scale sculpture that will cover the side of a building. Sunny can't really talk about the specifics of the installation yet, but Lou gives me a demo, and it is a workout.
And what we're doing is
you're stretching.
Creating a form and stretching it, yes. So where it was once flat, now we're getting volumes, that are positive and negative. We do have some tools that we use.
Sunny says that she often discovers bruises on her knees and hips after working in the studio.
And I tell you what, you don't need to go to the gym when you're doing this because...
Use your core.
You use all of your core muscles and you discover some muscles that you didn't even know you had. This is like art yoga.
Sunny and Lou have been friends since they were undergrads at Columbus College of Art and Design. Lou's been collaborating with her and managing her studio for 2 years now.
So she dragged you up here to New Hampshire too?
She said, yeah, come up to New Hampshire. The winters are great.
Sunny Park is not from these parts either. She was born in Korea in 1975, where her father ran a silk manufacturing and export business, which eventually failed. So he and Sunny's mother and her younger sister moved to the U.S. to start a new life. Sunny was just 9 years old at the time, or 10 as they count in Korea, when her parents left. She and her older sister followed a few years later, landing in Marietta, Georgia.
Moving to a new country, you feel displaced. And, when I moved to U.S., I didn't speak English. And, of course, also I grew up in a town where there's only me and this other guy in my class of is 300 kids. And just, you don't notice that you are different externally, but people let you know that you are. So, kind of navigating through that experience.
As much as Sunny Park resists attaching a narrative to her work, those formative experiences seeded her pursuit as an artist. Being convinced that she wasn't expressing herself in English pointed her towards the visual world. And that led to countless hours in the studio making work that explores that liminal space, that void between body and mind and light and matter and what is seen and unseen. It is innovating and actualizing those ideas on a grand scale that's brought her to widespread acclaim and success. A considerable feat for an artist who'd rather work with nonprofit spaces than commercial galleries, and for an artist who came to New Hampshire, of all places, to teach at Dartmouth, pretty far from the limelight.
I just love being here. I love the nature. I love the speed of things. I love driving in the dark. I love waiting for the summer, spring to come. I mean, every bit of it, yeah.
Sue Sunny Park's BioLath has also found a home. It's at the Currier Museum of Arts until August the 6th. We also heard from Citrio Nagoro, Zachary Stagnaro, Jonah Huffman, Demetrio Cortez, Ruby Sarmiento, and others from the first, second, and third, and fourth grade classes at McDonough Elementary. Thanks so much to their teacher, Claire Preventure, and to Currier Museum volunteer, Megan McIntyre. You can find more on the installation at wordofmouthradio.org.